السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's English khutbah, and the topic is the deeds that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved. Alhamdulillah. All praises are for Allah, the Most Generous, the One who has honored us through sending the Master of all the Messengers and making us be from those who love Him. And so through loving the Beloved, we enter into this circle of intimate love with our Lord. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the True, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our Master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and His Messenger. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day. Amma ba'd, to continue. I advise you, slaves of Allah and myself, with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah. For verily Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِيكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. O you who have believed, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger. He will then give you a double portion of His mercy and make for you a nur, a light, by which you will walk, and He will forgive you in a wholesome forgiveness. And Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as this verse delineates, the way of following the Messenger is a way of rahmah and a way of light. And this cannot not be except this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Quran through the words of His Prophet, He said, say, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, i.e. follow the Prophet. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you thereby. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah will then forgive you your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, for indeed Allah is the all-forgiving and the all-merciful. So what we understand from this verse, brothers and sisters, is that the degree to which we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the degree to which we testify to that which we truly believe. In other words, the subtext of our lives is determined by that which we place value upon. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us to give us a description and a practical demonstration of what it is we should place value upon in our lives. What is it we should really love? And hence the degree to which we truly believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be demonstrated by the degree to which we love him and the degree to which we love that which he loved. For love, brothers and sisters, is the ultimate testimony to our faith, a faith whose very foundation is based on loving Allah and His Messenger. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, that none of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him than his father, than his children, and the entirety of all the people. And so what we should seek, brothers and sisters, as we try to perfect our faith, is to perfect our degree of love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the true demonstration of love is emulation. is following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so this should translate into a loving for what he loved and an abstaining from what he abstained. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not sent to us except as being the best of examples. Examples in all manners of being, in his example of his speech, his aqwal, example of his actions, his a'mal or af'al, examples of his character, his khuluq, examples of his attributes, and so on and so on. And it is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, there has come to you in the Messenger of Allah the best of examples. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For whomsoever truly desires Allah and truly takes himself to account on that day of recompense, the last day, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and remembers Allah much. For such people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will always be the best of examples, because they've apportioned to everything its right, and they've taken what is true to be true, and they've realized that what is false is false. And that's why, when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, we look at the things that he gave importance to, were all of the things that fell into this paradigm of someone who remembers Allah, for someone who remembers the Yawm al-Akhir, someone who remembers that there will be an end to time, wherein which the only thing that will benefit us will be that which was done for Allah. And so what are the things? What are the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave importance to? Well, for starters, we can look at Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He said, the intimacy of my eye, the coolness of my eye has come in prayer. And often he used to say, Arihna biha ya Bilal. He used to call upon Sayyidina Bilal, who was the mu'adhin, and say, free us from the toil and the difficulties of this world through prayer. Prayer wasn't a mode of distraction. Prayer was rather a mode of intimacy, a mode of connection. Let us not forget that the word salah has within it sila, connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these salah, we find that in addition to being hastening to the obligatory and always ensuring that he performed the obligatory, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the salawat al-rawatib, those salats that were from the supererogatory, the extra, that he still never left. And from those, we can just mention some. From those, for example, the two rakats just before Fajr. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about them, he said, لَهُمَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا جَمِيعًا. That the performance of these two rak'at before Fajr are more beloved to him than the world in its entirety. And the world in its entirety is symptomatic or representative of anything you can have, from the sky to the heavens to the earth, that you can have. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alluding to is what weight, what rank is it to have any of these possessions if there is no niyyah and there's nothing in Allah for it? And that's why these two rakats of Fajr are more important than anything you can possess if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in your heart. And that's why one of the things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the salah that were most beloved to him were the ones that he madawama alayha, are those that he persisted upon. Similar to the two rak'at before Fajr, from the nawafil, from the extra supererogatory prayers, were the four rak'at before Dhuhr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, إِنَّهَا سَاعَةٌ تُفْتَحُ فِيهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يَصْعَدَ لِي فِيهَا عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that in this hour, after the zawal has passed, before dhuhr, in these things is an hour, in this time period is an hour, in which the gates of heavens are opened, and I love that I am shown in this state that I have a righteous deed being performed that's raised up for me in it. And so he would be avid to make sure that he performs salah. And so then we move on to another type of ibadah. That was salah. Now let's come to siyam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once again outside of the obligatory nature of fasting in Ramadan and so on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was someone who used to persist in fasting yawmul ahad wa yawmul khamis. يوم الاثنين ويوم الخميس, the Mondays and the Thursdays. For these are the days that the deeds will be shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them, he said, وَأُحِبُّ أَن يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. He said, I love that my deeds should be shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm in a state of fasting. I'm in a state of making imsak, withholding myself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on from fasting, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an intimate connection with the Quran. He used to love reciting the Quran, and he used to love making tadabbur and tafakkur, to reflect upon the verses therein. And so we find there are specific khasa'is, specific attributes that he would delineate for specific surahs or specific ayat in the Quran. And so just to take one of them, one of the great chapters he would love to recite was Surah Al-Fath. He said, when one of the, he would often be reciting it, and he's reported to have said, لَقَدْ أُنزِلَتْ عَلَيَّ لَيْلَةَ سُورَةٌ لَهِيَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ. He said, tonight there has been revealed to me a surah which is more dearer to me than all of the world upon which the sun rises. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. And then he recited the very first verse of Surah Al-Fath, which is, verily we have granted you, O the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fathan mubina, a manifest victory. And of course, this is one of the beautiful things about this surah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is starting off by saying that he's giving the bushra, the glad tidings of what is going to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also glad tidings to the believers of the ultimate fath, the ultimate victory, which is leading a life of felicity and entering into Jannah. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in addition to reciting the Quran, would love to hear the Quran. It's narrated that he said to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, "Iqra alayya." He said, "Read upon me." فَقَالَ Abdullah, أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أُنزِلَ. He said, I should recite upon you, and upon you is the revelation that's descended. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِي. He said, I love to hear the Qur'an being recited from other than me. At that point, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that he started reciting the Qur'an, and he started reading Surah An-Nisa, until he reached the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And so Allah says, how would it be that when we take from every nation a witness, and we take from you upon everyone the witnessing? At this point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَمْسِكْ, just withhold, stop. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud looked at him, and his eyes were overflowing with tears. And what this indicates, brothers and sisters, is just the very act of listening to the Qur'an and pondering on its verses is a great form of ibadah, because this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our ability to be engaged with it indicates an attachment to His word, which in turn indicates an attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا كُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And so when the Qur'an is recited, then listen to it and pay attention, that you may have mercy come to you. Likewise, brothers and sisters, from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he would be constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that we've mentioned so far are anwa', natures or aspects of dhikr. And so he came to make tahqiq of dhikr, to make people realize that our aim is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dhikr means to remember that which you already know, so to remind humanity of their great birthright, that they were created to enter into this covenant to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as a result, there was not a moment when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not occupied in some manner or forth, whether through deeds or words, that would engage him drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from his characteristic is that he would often have special adhkar, special things he would say in terms of his remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at special times. For example, we find that after Fajr and Asr, he would often be saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And so he would say these words, and he said, "Ahabu ilayya mimma talaat alayhi shams." Once again, using that same word, that these saying these words are more beloved to me than everything on which the sun rises. In other words, this dunya has no value unless there is an attachment of Allah to us thereby. And if we were to give value to this dunya, except that we valued it in a way that was somehow different to our value of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it has no value, because it will be perishing like everything else that perishes. And so finally, in conclusion of mentioning these great things and seeing how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would apportion and give value to that things that he loved, we shouldn't forget that amongst the greatest things that he loved was the best of character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, inna min ahabbikum ilayya ahsanukum akhlaqan. He said, the most beloved of you amongst you to me is the one who's the best in character. And so from this beautiful husnul khuluq, this beautiful character, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved beautiful, praiseworthy attributes. And one of them, subhanAllah, was that being of help to people, fulfilling the needs of people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, وَلَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَا أَخٍ لِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ شَهْرًا. He said that I walk and fulfill the need of my brother is more beloved to me than I make i'tiqaf, that I actually make a spiritual retreat in this mosque for a month. And just think, brothers and sisters, which masjid was he talking about? This was his own masjid, the greatest of places to do i'tiqaf in, after Mecca, the Haram al-Mecca. But when we consider the rank of this place, and he's saying that you fulfill the need of a brother, that you are able to fill the need of a brother, is more beloved to him. So this shows the hurma, the sanctity of a fellow Muslim, and us being able to help each other. One of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said is, he said, "Ahabbu al-hadith ilayya asdaquhu," that the most dearest of beloved of speech to me is that which is the most sincere. And this was an attribute by which Sayyidina Abu Bakr, his most beloved companion, was characterized, in that he was as-siddiq. He was a person of truth, so truthful that truthfulness characterized him. And another thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said amongst these attributes is that of things he valued, is he narrated in a hadith to one of his companions, he said, "Inna fika khaslataini yuhibbuhumullahu wa rasuluhu." He said, "In you are two qualities that Allah and His Messenger love." And what were those two qualities? Al-Hilm. Well, he said, Al-Anat. Clemency and tolerance. So this ability to be people of gentleness, this ability to be people of tolerance, this ability to stop ourselves from getting angry, these are the things that draw us nearer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in totality, brothers and sisters, if you were to summarize this khutbah, it's that there's no value, there's no beauty to life except in embodying what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. Because no one can embody good character except their inward has become good. Their inward has placed value to that which Allah apportions as good. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestow upon us from His vast bounty and generous kindness to make us take a portion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of this khulukul hasana, this beautiful character, to make us real human beings, those devoutly obedient to Him. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of service to the way of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those He has ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke Him for forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And so, and with that comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.